God, I just pray that you would, your glory would weigh heavy on my words today, God. Your presence would change our hearts. In the spirit of revelation, we just invite you to come and have your way right now. In Jesus' name. Off to a good start. We prayed good. Well, the past few years around here have been really, really interesting in a good way. Really cool. God really just showing us. We're also learning, wow, there's more to this. It's been great. It's been very exciting. One of the things, see if you know this. We talk about it a lot here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done here on this earth like it is in heaven. That little nugget right there has been transformational because it shapes partly how we see the rest of Scripture, and it shapes partly how we see the world, and it shapes partly how we see ourselves. Like Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray. God, how are we going to pray? Because they watched Jesus pray, and they watched the world be transformed. One man without Facebook, without video, without social media of any kind, without PA systems, without auditoriums, without cell phones, without any of the viral things. Jesus went viral without any of that existing. He wasn't from a large town. There was nothing in place for him to really do the things that he was doing and to be who he was being unless he really was God. And so they would watch him as a man, watch him go and pray, and they, I'm guessing, talked amongst themselves, and they're like, okay, did you guys notice that yesterday? Disappeared for 4 hours, came back, healed the whole village. Thursday, disappeared for an hour, came back, and, you know, whatever. Just remember, we had 5 loaves, and we fed like 3,000 people? Yeah. Disappeared before that. I bet they kind of caught on after a while, and they're going like, okay, teach us how to disappear. Okay? Whatever you're doing, and they would find out, well, he's praying. Okay, there must be some kind of key to this. And so they said, teach us to pray. And so when he teaches them to pray, this is right at the beginning of his prayer. When you pray, here's what you should be. Here's the focus you should have. Here's as you stand before, number one, you get 2 words into it. Our Father. Number one, you know you're praying from relationship. You're immediately praying as a son and daughter. Our Father art in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be a part of your daily prayer. Not to recite it, to expect it and call it forth. What we're learning is that we're participants in calling that realm to come and invade this realm. We are players, if you would. We are pawns. We are participants is a much better word, but I was trying to think of other words. We are participants in bringing God's reality, heaven's atmosphere, into this world that we live. And that's a totally foreign thought to us around here, or at least the people that I talk with. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 6. I think it's verse 27. I didn't record that. And it just unlocked this whole section here that I kind of thought I knew what it was saying, and it is. You got to understand, the Word of God is multifaceted. It's multi-layered. Like, a lot of times in the Old Testament, they would give a prophecy. You know, the prophet would stand up and say, such and such is going to happen, and this is going to happen, whatever. And that would happen, but it's not all fulfilled yet. Like, it was fulfilled for that time, but there's also a future component to it. There's kind of an overarching component to it. So there's the local prophetic, and then there's the global kingdom of God prophetic. Some of the prophecies about Jesus, some of them were local, and it happened, but it wasn't all done yet. It didn't use up all of what that was really intended. Like, it's multi-layered. Some of the Word of God, I would dare say all of the Word of God, is multi-layered. Like, it can mean one thing. It's living and active. You guys ever read the Word and you're like, I know that, man. I've read that. I've recited that. And you come back like 2 years later and you read that same passage again. You're like, I have never seen this before. Do you know what I mean? It's multi-layered. Multi-layered. So I thought I, you know, maybe got a grasp on this section. Didn't read it a lot because it just really wasn't fun to read. And so it had just been stirring in me for about a year now. And I still had no clue. I knew I was supposed to preach on this and had no clue what this was about. Friday. And I ended up doing other stuff Friday. And so I'm behind schedule now. And so I'm sitting in my office. I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, it's cram time. I really feel like I'm supposed to preach on this. I have no idea what it says. Like, no clue. I'm going to stand up and proclaim the Word of God. And like, I feel like you want to unlock something, and I've got nothing. Nothing. But I've moved forward with it at the risk of not having anything to say today. And the Holy Spirit just began to just unlock stuff. So, you know how when you go down a gravel road and you got the little dog come running up? We do it with the bus all the time. You guys do that with your cars. And these little dogs come flying out of the ditch, and they go... What's going to happen if they get a hold of the tire? Like, what, you know, that's my question. Okay, evidently you've got a plan here, buddy, because what's going to happen if you're successful? Oh, just on a side note, that's us a lot of times. God, give me, God, give me. And God's going, if I give you that, holy cow. God doesn't say holy cow, probably. If he did, one would appear. It's true. So I'm kind of like one of those little yipping dogs this morning. Like I've kind of latched onto this thing, but it's, yeah, I don't really have it, but it's some cool stuff here. I can bring you a little piece that I've got. So in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is saying a whole bunch of other things, and then he gets to verse number 27, and he says, but to you who are listening, your other versions might say it a little bit differently, but he says, to you who are listening, anytime that you hear Jesus, hear. But I say unto you, which hear. Anytime you see that, know this. Know that God is presenting an opportunity for us to come in. That's what that means. It means that I'm going to say something to you right now. Some of you, it's going to go over your head. You're going to miss out on the God moment here. And that was me. A lot of this. I didn't see that. I say unto you that hear. If you're willing to hear, and those of us with hungry hearts, and you're saying, God, I want more. I want more of you, whatever that looks like. I need to have more of this. I need to carry more of your presence. I need to see my world around me transformed. I need to carry your atmosphere. God, I'm hungry for more of what you are offering and bringing. That's people that are willing to hear. So he's saying, if you don't think you know it all, and you know, you're willing to be enticed to walk in a little deeper, then read this next part. Okay, let's read the next part. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. Okay, that's the first section. We're going to read more, but that's the first section for now. For years, for the entirety of my Christianity, I thought that was really Jesus' lesson for us in humility and just kind of Jesus 101, how to be a doormat. Okay? Like, if you're really going to be a Christian, then you better be ready for some abuse. Okay? These are challenging verses. Like, oh, really? You really mean that? Like, we really have to do that? And so I thought, if we aligned our lives, and at face value, it is. And you should. And it's still true. But he's saying, if you've got an ear, if you want to listen, watch what else is in here. Because what I said earlier, this broken down image of a church, of a Christian, of a believer, is not the image that's portrayed in the Bible. But that's almost what this looks like until you look a little closer. This right here, if you're willing to step into this, is God empowering you to bring another atmosphere. So much of our Christianity has been about behavior modification. We're going to teach you how to do the right things, okay? How to say the right things and how to do the right. And at face value, there's value to that. But that's like the baby level. And Christianity has roots and depths that go so much deeper and broader. You are not going to transform society by just simply doing and saying the right thing. That's part of it, but that's not all that's needed. Now watch. So here, follow this. Jesus does not want you to be a victim. He does not want you to be a victim. He's never set you up to be a victim. To say, oh, this is all happening to me. Praise God. God has never set you up to play the victim. We come to church and we hear about, you know, empowering and standing strong and faith. And then you go and read Jesus' words and he's like, oh, let's turn the other cheek. And like, so I've got to be, which is it? In every verse in this section that we read, there's action. He never told us to be passive. He said, you bring a superior kingdom to the situation. He said, don't be responsive to what they're doing on their level. Be responsive to what they're doing on a kingdom of God level. And watch what happens. Watch now. Love your enemies. So everyone say love. 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 That's action. Do good to those who hate you. That's an action. Bless those who curse you. That's an action. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's an action. If they slap you on one cheek, what do we got to do? Nobody knows. If they slap you on one cheek, turn. Turn. That's an action. You have to do something. It's you participating, initiating a response. Turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do. So love, do good, bless, pray for, turn, don't withhold, give, do. That's all wrapped up. Those are all actions. That is not you being the victim of a situation. That is you being empowered to respond with a supernatural response. That's you taking the kingdom of heaven and bringing it to earth. Now watch, we're going to keep going on a little bit more. That's not behavior modification. That's not Jesus saying, if someone slaps you, be a wuss. It's not saying be powerless. He's saying be empowered to change the situation. So if we keep going, I have these pieces picked out. I think these are in the right order. I copied and pasted. It says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you are expecting repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. Here's what I thought he was saying. I thought he was saying, you've got to be a good Christian. Here's what I'm challenging you to do. Anybody can just, you know, if someone loves you, you love them back. You should be better than that. That's what I thought he was saying. And he is. But here's what I think he's saying. He's saying, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This story is really a tale of two kingdoms. What kingdom are we going to live in? Are we going to live in the kingdom of earth? Or are we going to live in the kingdom of heaven? Watch now. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love. He's saying, even the system of this world, this system over here, the worldly system, they even can do that. So remember what I was saying earlier about being participants? Like we get to decide, what are we going to participate in? Which kingdom are we going to align with? He's saying, even the people that are aligned with the kingdom of this world, if someone loves them, they can love them back. There's no supernatural effort required in that. There's nothing that's putting a demand upon the kingdom of heaven in that situation. But in this situation over here, in the kingdom of God, He's saying, if you respond in a way that's not of that kingdom, then you begin to pull on the presence of God. You begin to bring heaven to earth in that situation. If you respond in a way that's not the normal worldly way, you bring heaven to earth in that situation. You give God the opportunity to show up in the middle of that scenario that he would not have had if you had stuck with the world situation. He's not just saying be better. He's saying live in a different kingdom. He's saying bring heaven to earth. Okay, I'm saying I'm a little yipping dog, just kind of got a hold of the edge of this. But there's something deeper here. Jesus isn't just saying, yeah, even a sinner can do that. You can do, that's not, because that's what it felt like to me. Even a sinner can do that. You got to do better than that. I don't think he's saying that, or at least just that. He's saying, if you participate in this kingdom, then that's the resources you have to deal with the situation. If you participate in this kingdom, heaven's resources are available to handle the situation. Stand over here, and you're just going to love the people that love you. Hope it works out well for you. Stand over here. All of heaven is available to enter in right now. There's a greater reality than what we see here. And he's giving us keys. That's why he said, for you, those of you that are willing to hear, watch, I'm going to give you an opportunity to open up over your situations the kingdom of heaven. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Again, three more actions. You're not a victim. Oh, they're hating me. Shut up. You're not a victim. God has never called you. He may call you to suffer, but you suffer with the ability to align yourself with the cause of Christ and go forward and get rewarded. Like, you are never the victim. You are never the victim. He's provided a way out. He may not change your circumstances, but like a couple we've heard multiple times, you stand in the middle of them and you watch God show up in the middle of them. But you can't do that when you're partnered with the world system. It looks different. You have to be over here. You have to be doing things kingdom way. So here's three more actions. He's saying, take the initiative. You were meant to rule this earth. Not in a like a military kind of way, but you were meant in the garden. See, when Jesus came, he meant to restore. He redeemed us. He bought us back. What does buying us back mean? Well, he originally had us. He created us. Guide, guard, govern, direct, protect, and correct. To rule this earth. Man was to have dominion over this earth. And so he wants us to do that again. To rule over this earth and to take situations that don't look like Jesus. They don't look like the kingdom of heaven. They look like this. And we step in with our actions and change them to start to smell like Jesus. They start to reverberate with the echoes of heaven. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Do good to them. Can you imagine? Like, can you imagine if we really did this? People that we would classify as our enemy. We wake up in the morning, well, I think I'm going to go find Jack today and go buy him lunch. Like, he's taking you to court next week. Yep. You trying to get out of it? Nope. I'm trying to bring another kingdom in it. I don't have the resources to deal with Jack. But God does. I'm going to go do good to him. I'm going to invite heaven's reality into this situation. Watch now. Love your enemies, do good, lend without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Of course, I thought this, when I get to heaven, my reward's going to be great. And it is. Multi-layered. This is multi-layered. Your reward will be great. Watch the next thing. And you will be children of the Most High. One version, a bunch of versions say sons and daughters of God or sons of God. That doesn't make any sense to me. So if I do this, I'm not a son of, or like, what are you saying? He's saying, how much we've heard over the last couple of years over and over, that we're to operate from the viewpoint of being a son and a daughter. Identity. Over and over and over, we've heard identity. Like, if I think I'm worthless, my actions are going to be that of someone who's worthless. Right? Is that true? If I think I'm an heir to the throne of God, if I think I'm a son or a daughter, Jesus has branded me as his brother or sister, I'm going to act differently. I'm going to carry something different. If I'm a son of God, I carry with that all that that has to offer. My son does not have to ask to come in the house. Unless I'm really mad. He has access to things that other people do not, because he's a son. Right? We got that? He's a son. You are a son or a daughter. You have access to things that you would not normally have access to if you were not a son or a daughter. He says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. You're going to have a great reward. You know what it is? Watch. You'll be children of the Most High. You'll be sons of God. Because, and I've preached this verse here before because it's just so radical. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. What does that one say? He is kind towards the unthankful and evil. Boy, God's going to get them. Yeah, he's with kindness. What? This is Jesus talking. Yeah, there's judgment, whatever. Let God handle that. Right now, he's saying, you step into this camp and you start handling situations instead of like you normally would, instead of how your flesh is telling you to handle it like Jesus told you to handle it. Because what you're doing, you're partnering with heaven and you're inviting the resources of heaven into every area of your life, and you begin to carry the atmosphere of heaven. That begins to shape your workplace. That begins to transform your schools. That begins to transform your churches. That begins to transform your families. Not just behavior modification, but opening up a portal to heaven to let that presence come. But you got to do it differently. If you got an ear to hear this, this is available. Then I love verse 36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You know, there's a moment in America, if we keep going on the trajectory that we're going on, that Christians are going to be in some hot water. It's not popular to be a Christian anymore. In fact, it's getting vicious out there. Okay? I'm not really a doomsdayer, so like whatever. But if that does happen, Bob just fainted. If that does happen, oh, okay. Good. If that does happen and they start incarcerating, or at the very least firing, you know, persecuting. We've experienced something in America that has seldom ever been experienced globally. We've just grown up with a couple generations of it, so we think it's normal and it should be like this. This is the exception to the rule. Everywhere else, Christianity thrives amidst persecution, right? We've kind of got this, it's our right to be Christian, this is our nation, and it's all right. I like that. Don't get me wrong, I like that. But it's not common, it's not normal. So if we get to persecution around here, we better get a whole new set of tricks in our bag of how we're going to handle that. Right? Please don't take this the wrong way. I love Jay Sekulow and all that kind of stuff. I do, I support that and I love that. But we can't go running to a lawyer every time someone's calling us bad names. Right? And so, and it's all right if you think I'm off on that. It's okay, because I probably am. I don't know. But there's more resources than what we have available in the world system. There's heaven's system. Do not judge. Oh, this is a verse. You want to talk about a hot button in America. You know, it's never good to preach out of frustration. That never brings good results. And this is one of my pet peeves. So I'm going to try to detach from my flesh right now. I get so frustrated. Don't judge. Usually right after the don't judge statement is a statement of them judging something. That's all I'm saying. Moving on. Drives me crazy. Anyways. Shoot. Where are we at? Do not judge. Do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Let me tell you what judge means according to the dictionary. To pass legal judgment on, to pass sentence on, to decide or settle authoritatively, or to make a careful guess about. To condemn is to express an unfavorable or adverse judgment on, to indicate a strong approval of, to pronounce to be guilty, or to sentence to punishment. Okay? That's a lot of definition words, but do you get what that means? Okay, here's what I don't think God really is saying. I really don't, because there are other places he tells us to judge. What? Go look in your Bibles. What? Anyway, so I don't think that's what this is about. Remember, it's all about bringing heaven to earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Now take that perspective and put it on this verse. What does God want to do? The verse right before, go find some wicked and evil people and be kind to them because that's what God's doing. What? Your Father in heaven, you know how I would describe him? Kind and merciful to the wicked. Really? There is judgment, there's retribution, but Jesus is giving us a revelation of the Father who is kind and merciful to the wicked. To the wicked. Say wicked. To the wicked, no less. We have a tough time believing he's kind to me some days, let alone the wicked. Jesus gives us a glimpse into the heart of the Father that we're not willing a lot of times to see. We're not willing to see God as he really is sometimes because we think people deserve to be. Watch. This is all about inviting heaven to invade earth. Watch. Do not judge, you won't be judged. Do not condemn, you won't be condemned. Forgiven, you'll be forgiven. What he's saying is don't come into a situation and judge that person or that situation with a finality. Don't call something finished that God says is still in progress. Don't call something hopeless that God says has hope. Don't judge a person or a situation. Don't speak over their lives because your words have power. Don't say they're going to hell and they're never going to change. Don't condemn and don't judge because then you yourself enter into that kind of a situation. You pull your own life by your. See, we're constantly aligning heaven or earth, heaven or earth. What am I aligning my life with? Oh, look at this. We're never going to get out of debt. That guy over there, he's so mean. He's not. You're just pronouncing judgment and condemnation. Yeah? You like that? That's good stuff. That's what I think it means. That's what I think it means. Don't judge and you won't be sucked into that finality of no hope and no rescue and no, this is not, I don't know why he doesn't ever change. I tell him all the time he's just a no good, you know. Well, let's start over here. And I'm saying that from someone who would be in that camp. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is one of the most popular verses at offering time. And it's not talking about that at all. But that's all right. That is in context of don't judge, don't condemn, forgive. And he's saying, if you give that, if you give an escape from the finality of that sentence, if you give hope over a situation or a person that you see, and the facts are every time this happens, they make horrible choices. So if you want to just keep speaking that over them, if you're giving judgment and condemnation, that's what's going to come back. But if you're giving release from that, that's what's going to come back. Watch. I don't think measure means amount. With the measure you use, it'll be used to you. I think the measure is the quality of it. The measure is which measure? Heaven's measure or earth's measure? Which measure are you going to give? Are you going to give condemnation, judgment, and unforgiveness? Or are you going to give heaven's release into that situation? That's good stuff. Page 3. There's one in the King James. It says, given, it shall be given to you, all that, you know what? Shall men give into your bosom? I haven't looked at my bosom lately, but shall men, you know, you can take the guy out of the youth room, but you can't take the youth room out of the guy. It's kind of, shall men give? He's just clarifying that not only is God going to show up, but you're opening their lives up to that release. And men will give back that freedom and that release to you in your own life. How many times have we been stuck in something in our life? I can't get out of this. And yet we're constantly speaking condemnation and judgment. But I just can't get, it's because you get your, with the measure that you use, it's getting measured back to you. Well, God must really be against me. No, Jesus said, if you've got an ear, I'm going to show you something, how to unlock heaven over your life. Then Jesus, I didn't write that one down, but the next one about the teacher. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Here's a parable about blind people. This is the last one. Man, this is good. Okay, here's the classic interpretation. And this probably is accurate, but I'm going to give another layer. Classic interpretation. Eric's got a speck in his eye. I got a plank in my eye. Shouldn't tell Eric, hey, you got a speck in your eye. When I got a plank in my eye, get the plank out of my eye, then I can get the speck out of your eye. You know, 100 messages on that. We've all heard that. I looked it up in all the Bible, you know, commentaries and everything. That's what they said too. I'm like, I don't think that's just what it means. How many other times throughout Scripture when someone's caught in sin, do they ever give the analogy, hey, speck eye? Never. They say, you got filthy rags, your deeds are, you know, just like there's all kinds of analogies. Never sawdust in your eyeball, ever. And he starts by saying, there's a problem with us being able to see. There's a blindness problem here. Can the blind lead the blind? That's how he starts this parable. But everyone wants to say, well, you got a little sin, and I got a big sin. So what he's saying is, what, I can't help? Like, so if Eric is just, he's killing birds, you know, illegally. That's his sin. But I'm killing people in a mass, like I should stop mass murdering. Then I can help him. It just doesn't even make sense to me. So maybe I'm the dumb one, and that is probably true. But what I think this means, because it's heaven to earth, remember? Okay? See it with that paradigm. We'll finish up with this one. I got one more verse after this, but this is the last section on this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly. Check that. Then you'll see clearly. Everybody say, see clearly. See clearly. Then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye, which is also inhibiting his vision. Anytime that you're talking about seeing, in the Word of God, we're talking about revelation. We're talking about insight into heaven. We're talking about revealing. Okay? So what he's saying is, okay, Eric's got a problem in his life. You know, whatever. He's blinding, you know, or this is irritating him, or I don't know what the speck is for sure. But I do know this for sure. What he's saying is, another version says a log. You know, we burn wood. I've had specks. I've never had logs. Specks are horrible. They're irritating. They cripple you from what you're supposed to be doing at the moment. Aspen, wow. How many loads of wood she has not done because she had a speck in her eye. She perfected that. Here's how it went. Oh, Dad! Got both kids today, yep. It's dangerous being my family. And the wife. So specs are crippling. They keep you from being able to perform and do what you're supposed to do. But I've never had a log. Just with picture with me, if you would. The log in my eyeball. Exactly. It's just not even funny. I mean, it's funny, but it's just like, it is limiting my vision to such an extent that I cannot see anything. I think what Jesus is saying here is, I'm applauding you for wanting to help Eric, but in order to help Eric, you can't see. Take the log out and you can see. And what is seeing? Revelation. Need to get revelation. Then you can help Eric. You need to get revelation. What's God's heart? What is God saying over that situation? I like that. What is heaven's perspective over that speck in his eye right now? Something's crippling him. Something's keeping him from being what he's supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be. So he's saying is, next part, don't be a hypocrite. You know what the Bible, what a hypocrite means? Most of you guys do. It means an actor. It means an actor. Someone who plays a part. So what's Jesus really saying? He's saying, I like your heart to go run and help Eric, but when you've got a plank in your eye, your vision's cut off, you've got no release from heaven over Eric's life. You've got no vision, you've got no revelation over that problem, over whatever is crippling him right now. So don't be an actor. Don't run and play the part like you can solve the problem. You're playing the part of someone who can fix it, but you really can't. You're an actor. You're acting like you can solve the problem, but you can't because you can't see. You can't see what God's heart is over Eric. You can't see that one word that you would speak and he would just, that's it. I know it. That's what I got to do. Get heaven's perspective. Get vision. You know what revelation is? Have you guys ever gotten revelation before? You've been reading the Word of God and something looks like it's just highlighted in yellow. No, God showed up and just highlighted something to you, maybe about someone else or maybe about his word or in worship. You know, God's just revealed something to you. You know what revelation is? It's a fragment of heaven that comes to earth and carries with it heaven's properties. That's what revelation is. We think of it just like, oh, now I know something more than it. No, it's God supernaturally revealing something that carries with it heaven's resources. So what he's saying is, don't go to Eric and run to him before you get heaven's resources. Get revelation about how you should handle this problem. And then heaven comes in and all of God's resources begins to move in this situation. Otherwise, you're just acting like you've got, you know, you got a good heart, but you're just an actor. You're just acting like you've got the answer and you don't have revelation about it. So that fragment, I don't know if you guys are sci-fi people or not. We kind of are, or at least I am. So by default, my wife is. But a lot of times there'll be a fragment of something. I'm trying to remember what that one was. There was a little tiny piece that had broken off, and it was from this other world or whatever, and so it was evil, you know, and it was festering and whatever. You got the old school Superman, kryptonite, you know. What is it? It's a fragment. When Superman gets around kryptonite, it's a fragment of that atmosphere, of that reality, of that world brought into our world, Earth. When he's near it, then it cripples him. Okay? This is the opposite. When revelation comes, it's a fragment of heaven that carries with it all the atmosphere of heaven. So get revelation. That's a whole nother message, but how do we get revelation? Yes, exactly. Pursue that. It's the heart. Bible says this. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. His glory rests upon hiding things. Our glory comes because we're kings, we're sons and daughters. Our glory comes by finding it, releasing it. All right, really quick, we'll finish up. Wow. When you release revelation over a situation, releases what heaven is. One of the overarching components of heaven, one of the overarching governors of heaven, you know what it is? Wisdom. By wisdom, I laid the earth's foundation. By wisdom, by wisdom, by wisdom. Heaven operates by wisdom. How many think you would need wisdom dealing with situations? A lot of our situations would turn out a lot better if we had wisdom. You bring revelation into it, it opens up wisdom. It opens up the resources of heaven. It opens up soft hearts. It opens up repentance. It opens up forgiveness. It opens up you being able to reach in and say, I'm going to help. Blink. Yeah? Romans chapter 8 is our last verse. You guys have done well. Romans chapter 8. Do you remember earlier when he said, if you love and you give and you turn the other cheek and you do all these things, what did he say we were going to become or be? Sons of God. Sons of God. If you do that, you'll be the sons of God. Not that you weren't before, I don't think he's saying. I think he's saying you'll be representing his kingdom on earth. You'll be bringing about the authority that a son has, the access that a son has. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share with his sufferings. Huh. Then we just read about sufferings and that opens up the ability to be sons and daughters of God. Watch now, in order that we may share in his glory. What's the kingdom of heaven? It's the glory of God. How many times have we said in church, we want to see the glory of God? Wow. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing. Okay. Watch verse number 19. I never understood that verse till today. Verse number 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God. I wrote down some other translations of that. Creation waits in eager expectation for the revelation of the sons of God. Whoa. Creation is eagerly awaiting the revelation of God's children. I really, truly believe, we're going to finish with this, I really believe that all of creation, the created things that beat with the breath and heart of God, are saying, where's the sons? Where's the daughters? This place is overrun with evil. Where's the sons of God? Where's the daughters of God? Where's their revelation? Where is their revelation? Where are the sons of God coming with revelation? Where are the daughters of God coming with God's revelation? Where are the sons of God coming with freedom? Where are the daughters of God coming releasing hope? Where are the sons of God being revealed to change atmospheres and to change situations? Creation is longing for that. And we just read about how it happens. You can partner with the world system, that kingdom, or this kingdom. That kingdom, I'm worried about my rights. This kingdom, I'm empowered with heaven's resources.